Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 18th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Stephanie Goodman, the executive director of the Robert Hunter International Problem Gambling Center in Las Vegas, on how she and her staff prepare problem gamblers for a future without betting. This week's podcast is sponsored by Global Payments Gaming Solutions, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at globalpaymentsgaming.com. The Robert L. Hunter International Problem Gambling Center has some of the highest success rates when treating problem gamblers. Using methods developed by Dr. Hunter prior to his death in 2018, the center is able to ease problem gamblers away from their afflictions and prepare them for further treatment. Stephanie Goodman, formerly a chief of staff for her ex-father-in-law, Las Vegas Mayor Oscar Goodman, has become educated in the nuances of the gambling treatment world and has developed a six-week program that gets problem gamblers ready for the next chapter in their lives. She spoke with me at the center in Las Vegas in December. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Stephanie Goodman, the director of the Robert L. Hunter Problem Gambling Center. Stephanie, good to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here today.
Well, it's such an important thing you're doing, you know. You're actually down here in the trenches helping these people, and I know you've got a great staff as well that are doing great things. So, but let's start with some of your background. You know, and congratulations on your recent election to the Nevada University as a Nevada University Regent. I mean,
thank
that's
you.
Exciting.
I know.
I've never known what that position entails, though. Give us a little feedback there.
Well, essentially, a regent is a fiduciary for the higher education system here in Nevada.
Okay.
So basically, what we'll be doing is the legislature gives the regents money, they allocate that money. But I think more importantly, they're able to affect policy, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of great things that we can do on our higher education campuses, and I'm excited about that. And
yeah.
Also, obviously, allocating the funds appropriately and making sure we take care of the students and the faculty and continue to diversify our economy. So
sure.
it's a fun position. I'm really excited. Thank
well,
you.
That's good. Well, my daughter goes to UNLV. So.
Oh, great. I love it.
So why don't you give us a little of your background then and how you came to become the executive director of the center here?
Well, actually, I came from gaming advertising,
mm-hmm.
so it is a very unique position to be here where, you know, unfortunately, I was rather ignorant when I was working for some of the properties here in town, and I used to think, just don't go to a casino,
yeah.
and, you know, shame on me, but now I've learned so much. I realize that this is a legitimate DSM-5 addiction. It lives in the same part of the brain as drugs and alcohol. And then I see our clients, and I've worked with these amazing people and our counselors, how much work they do. It's really incredible to be a part of this. So gaming advertising, I think, definitely opens up some unique doors in that I'm able to talk to industry because I used to be industry.
Sure.
So I love that aspect. And then before that, I actually worked as the chief of staff for our mayor, Oscar Goodman, here in Las Vegas, and that was just an incredible position. Talk
yeah.
about cutting your teeth with one
yes.
of the one of the smartest and toughest guys I think
sure.
that's ever been. So
right.
It's really a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, I've interviewed him several times, and he did have a big personality, so you had to kind of control that a little bit, I bet.
Yeah, well, there is no controlling Oscar.
That's true. So explain who Robert Hunter was. I mean, I got to meet him only one time, and he was pretty much a legend in the business. So, you know, he was so respected and important to you know, the problem gambling area. And they so important, so they named the center after him.
Yes, we did. And Dr. Hunter is exactly that, a legend. And oddly enough, I never met him. So I never
yeah,
even
okay.
had an opportunity
yeah.
to meet him. But what he did for problem gambling and all of the inroads he made in this state to really show what best practice is. is amazing. And he worked with Dr. Custer. He worked with the pioneers, right, who really were able to identify gambling as a true DSM-5 addiction. Mm-hmm. So he did so much incredible work. He had his PhD, and he was just an incredible advocate for not only individuals who had this addiction, but also forwarding the awareness of this addiction throughout our state, nationally and internationally. His program is so unique in that, and we still follow his program to the T for our intensive outpatient program. Mm-hmm. It is a mixture of cognitive behavioral therapy, group therapy, and then teaching our clients about the science of the brain so that they understand this isn't just me. Sure. I'm not weak. Right. This is a biological disorder within my brain. And so, I mean, he did talks, so weekly he would do talks on about the science, and he'd have topics that were very relatable, no matter if you were a doctor, a medical doctor, or if you were a homeless individual coming off the street. Things like bowling alone, to talk about isolation. I mean, it's so unique, some of the ways he addressed these issues. He just really was a brilliant man, and it's so sad that he's not here with us now. I think he'd be so proud of how we've continued his legacy and how much further we've come along in expanding that awareness of problem gambling.
Sure, sure, no question. So, you know, the center actually treats people afflicted with this gambling addiction, and just knowing several of them myself, it's really heartbreaking. So, how do you get clients to come in here?
So right now, listen, word of mouth is probably the biggest piece. Mm-hmm. We're a nonprofit, so, right, and I do come from the advertising world, so I find ways to get advertising, right, out mm-hmm. there, and we have a website, and I do a lot of awareness and outreach as well.
Sure.
And so that's really how we get people to come in. We have an intensive outpatient program. We see individuals one-on-one. And so we try to make it work for the client. We just want to get them in here, because once they get in here, we'll figure out a way to get you the help you need.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So how similar is your program to the Gamblers Anonymous program?
Well, it's very different. Mm-hmm. Gamblers Anonymous is, I think, an integral piece of recovery in mm-hmm. that I believe you need to go through our program to get to that space where then you go to GA and you're able to share with peers all of your mm-hmm. Experiences that you've gone through. Also, you know, some of the triggers that happen even when you're in recovery, you know, and
right.
it's a great source of peer support, mm-hmm. and I think it's vital. But our program is rewiring your brain mm-hmm. and using that cognitive behavioral therapy to really start getting you to think differently about, you know, instances. So, you know, typically, you know, you have a thought and then there's an action. Well, we're going to make you think about seven more things before you make that action,
okay,
so that you can stop yourself from getting there. So I feel like our program is vital mm-hmm. to get you to that space where you can be in recovery. And then GA is just such a great way to continue on so that you have that support moving forward.
Okay. So do you put them through a program when they come in here? Like they come in once a week or twice a week? How does that work?
So our main program mm-hmm. and really the foundation of this center is an intensive outpatient program. And what that is it's 6 weeks. It's 4 days a week for 3 hours a day. So it is fairly intensive. And really what we do is we have the individuals come in here. They're committed. They work together. They get to know each other too, because we have that group therapy. So they're all in here and they support each other. We have the individuals tell their life story at one point, and it's such a cathartic experience for them to be able to open up. At the end, we do a moving on ceremony so that everyone's around, they support them. So it's a great, great program.
Okay.
Yeah.
We did a story on the gambling court when it first opened with Judge Moss, and I thought that was a really wonderful program to you know, give people a way out. Do you interact with them?
We do take on clients. Mm-hmm. I think what we need to do with our diversion court is we need more of the legal community on board so that those individuals can use that as an option.
Sure.
It is a great program, and I do think it's imperative that there was a crime committed, and individuals should have to sit through something rather intensive. You know, sure. It shouldn't be able, right. Like, I get to go whenever I want. Like, right, I think our program is ideal for that, because mm-hmm. then you are committed. It's a 6-week commitment. And right. If you are really committed when you walk out of here, I mean, it's amazing the metamorphosis that takes place with our clients from day one to the end of week 6. Mm-hmm. It is a literal day and night experience if the person is ready for this change.
Yeah, okay, great. So how much of the research that's being done by organizations like the ICRG, International Center for Responsible Gaming, the National Problem Gambling Center, how much is that applicable to the actual treatment that you give to your clients here?
Well, like I said, our program is really based on the fundamentals of what Dr. Hunter did.
Right.
But I find that all of that research helps us so much as we go out there and talk about problem gambling. And then we are doing our own research as well. But it's so important for us to have these statistics, to have that data, because when we're going up to talk to the legislature, we're a state-funded program. We need to be able to say, listen, this is what's happening. This is the number of people that have a problem. This, unfortunately, is the number of people that are getting help. It's not enough. So we need an awareness campaign. So it really makes us, it gives us an opportunity to tell those who are in charge of giving us money a compelling story. So whether I'm talking to the legislature or I'm talking to private industry, the gaming industry here in Nevada, it gives me a compelling story. To say, hey, this is the data that's out there, and it's being gathered by reputable international and national organizations.
Okay, great. So how many people do you have on your staff? I know, you know, you introduced me to a couple of counselors on the way in.
Sure.
They seem to be very dedicated.
Sure. Well, we have 3 counselors, and we have 3 interns.
Okay.
And me. So we are a fairly small organization, but we have so many other interns that want to get in here. And that's really where we come to that space where we say, okay, 6 to 8% of our state needs help, but we're only helping 1%. Mm-hmm. So we're ready to help more people. But right now that's where we are. That's all we need right now is that kind of workforce. But we're a very close-knit group and very supportive. And it's a happy place, as you can see. You're here, but
sure,
like
right.
The light, the energy, it's a great place.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned that you're state funded, but Nevada has a reputation of not putting enough money into it, particularly because their economy is really based on the gaming industry. How do you feel about the way that you've been funded so far?
Well, I think it's a chicken or egg story, right? So we've got legislators up there that are saying, we need to fund problem gambling. It was, I believe, 3 years ago that our funding got cut by 75%.
Right.
It was probably the best thing that happened to us, because it gave us an opportunity to go out there and talk to legislators and educate individuals in the state who are in charge of this sort of thing. And shame on the problem gambling industry for not doing a better job of that.
Right.
So for us, I think it's about us telling our story and letting people know this is a real addiction. So state-funded... there's some things that we'd like to not have to ask for money every 2 years. We feel that this is as important of a problem that, you know, we would hope that it would just be built in, that we'd get this funding. But there's a lot of needs in our state, and so I'm just grateful for what we get.
Okay.
And then I supplement that with some really wonderful industry partners that understand that problem gambling is an issue, and it is different than responsible gaming. And I have those industry, those gaming properties here in Southern Nevada that are incredible support for us.
Okay, great.
And actually internationally, it's more than just Southern Nevada. We have some great, great partners.
Mm-hmm. So how closely do you work with the Nevada Council on Problem Gambling?
Well, the Nevada Council is out there as kind of just to make sure everybody gets all the information that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And we're our own organization, although I greatly respect Carol over there.
Sure.
She's amazing and such a resource of information.
Yeah.
Everybody over there is just so wonderful and working so hard to make sure that that awareness piece is effective and working. So
right.
We don't necessarily work together on anything, but we are peers, and I think we have a wonderful respect for each other. And I always keep them in the loop of you know, anything that we're doing, and they do the same with us. And so it's a you know, just kind of great situation where we work together, but it's not like it's forced. It's sure. Something we'd like to do.
Okay, great. So you know, you mentioned that you're partnered with a lot of the casinos here. You know, they all have responsible gaming programs, and you know, trying to educate their players on you know, how to gamble safely. But there's still a lot of people out there, and I think the most they do is put them on a self-exclusion list. So, could you see more cooperation between the industry and your center here?
Well, I think that we're getting there. Mm-hmm. What I'd really love to see is that problem gambling is a piece of that corporate culture. So right. We understand that this is a piece of what happens. That Dr. Hunter had a great analogy that he used to say years ago: you're going to build a beautiful ski resort, you need to have a little ski hospital at the bottom, a little hut to make sure those people get help. And right. And that's really, you know, what we are. And you know, it's a small percentage that can't have a good time, that get caught up in the addiction of what gambling right. is. But I think we're getting there. And I have, when it comes to the actual properties here, so many properties, they listen to me, they're hearing what I have to say, and they're listening, you know, and that's the first step. So, and then I already have properties that give. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of work we can do with some of the slot routes mm-hmm. and yeah. some of, like, you know, some of the slot parlors.
Right.
So that's something that I'd like to work on and get a little bit more buy-in from them as well.
Yeah. And then you can get the word out, you know, through those organizations as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, with your background in advertising, you know, we've seen a lot of pushback, certainly overseas, with gambling advertising. How do you think, you know, we should handle that in the U.S., particularly now that sports betting is illegal in so many states across the country?
Well, I think we need to learn from it. I yeah. think that just being a business owner for all the years I own my own advertising agency, I'd much rather implement safety precautions than have a government body regulate it. So I feel like if we pay attention to what's happened in the UK, what's happened in Australia, I think that it's only going to benefit the industry here in the United States.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just a personal perspective, how
sure.
I look at it.
I mean, some of them are prohibiting gambling or ads during the matches or the games themselves. Does that make sense to you or?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. When I worked for Oscar, I believe it was 2002, and the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority had provided, they bought ad time to run during the Super Bowl.
Right.
And back then, the NFL said, no.
Yeah.
You can't run your Las Vegas ad on
right,
our...
Yes.
But now, I mean, the guys are calling, you know, talking about what the spread is, like,
yeah.
during the game.
Yeah,
you
right,
know,
exactly.
like, it's been such a change, and I just feel like we kind of need to pull it back a little bit and
yeah.
get in the
yeah.
middle. I do... Listen, it's a business. I think yeah. that you should be able to advertise during mm-hmm. the game. I think you should be able to do all of that stuff. What's important is that you recognize that there is a certain percentage of the population that does not... is not available to like set limits. They
right.
they just can't do it. They mm-hmm. are not unable to game responsibly. And I think if industry just recognizes that, do your business. People are in the business to make money,
right.
and you're going to make money putting an ad on a game. But
right.
at least acknowledge that, hey, there's a percentage of our population that has a problem.
Right. Well, we were talking about those percentages, and you know, we really first saw that when the National Gambling Impact Study Commission came out with their report in 99. You know, we said you know, less than 1% of the people are you know, afflicted with what do they call it, you know, the worst form of problem gambling, you know,
right.
maybe below, and then 2%, you know, are susceptible.
Yeah, there's
to
a
it.
1 to 10 scale, right?
Right.
So
right.
yeah, the 9 or 10, you're having a
right,
real
exactly.
bad problem, but yeah.
So you know, when you look at the fact that there are you know, just that small amount of people there, you know, shouldn't we give more attention to those people? Since you know, according to the studies anyway, there's not that many of them out there.
There is not that many of them out there, and For me, I just see it as, you know, if you're a property, just whatever, like have a floor supervisor that understands what problem gambling is. There just should always be somebody on the floor that says, all right, I know what problem gambling is. I mean, I think it's as simple as that.
Right.
And then maybe from a human resources perspective, have something where, you know, we're working on a video right now where we can export that video to whoever wants it and maybe play it as a part of a you know, whatever the HR departments do. They're constantly educating their employees. But from an HR perspective, let your employees know this is a real problem. And then always have somebody on the floor that knows how to get help. When I worked with the Las Vegas Sands, they had an ambassador program that was remarkable.
Right.
And they always had somebody on the floor. We went through all kinds of mock situations on what you would do. And I think that that was really wonderful. Right now, Caesars Entertainment does a great job of, of making sure that they have a similar ambassador program. And that doesn't mean that other properties aren't working on it or want to get there. It's just that those are two programs I've been associated with.
Yeah, well, everybody's got something different. And I'm not sure if that's a smart idea, too. Maybe we should have, you know, the same kind of thing that we know works. I mean, you know, MGM has something different than Caesars. Caesars has something different than Hard Rock. And, you know, God bless them that if it all works. But I'm not sure if one works better than the other.
Well, listen, if we can just have a message that says this is what problem gambling is for all of them. I also feel like a lot of properties have responsible gaming, and that is very different, like I said, than problem gambling. So I think you need to have both. But listen, I started this in 2019, this position, and we've come a long way, and conversations are happening. People who need to listen are listening, and for me, that's incredible. I just want to get in front of more industry, explain to them what we do, what this is, provide them with resources. I mean, I even just give properties our brochures. You know, William Hill asked me for. I gave them brochures to put in all of their betting parlors.
Right.
I don't know exactly what they call them, but anyway, so I am here as a resource. And coming from the industry, I think it gives me that unique perspective that I understand this business has been the lifeblood of Nevada. I'm a native Nevadan. It's been the lifeblood of Nevada. So I don't have anything against the gaming industry. I just want to make sure that they have all the tools they need, that if they do have someone in there that has a problem, they can refer them to us.
Great. Well, Stephanie, I have great respect for anybody who dedicates their lives, you know, to this issue, and certainly I know some great people that have done that. But you people that are on the front line here, I think deserve a lion's share of that respect because you know you're going through the tough part and you're actually helping people, and it must be great to see the results of that, you know, when people really give it up.
It is amazing, and I can't thank you enough for giving us the opportunity to share our story, but. I'll leave you with this. We don't have any problems. I mean, you sit in these groups with some of our clients, and boy, you know, they have, you know, there's a lot of issues, and I am not I'm behind the scenes of the front lines. My counselors are really the ones that are amazing. I mean, just they care so much. I mean, we're open on holidays. I mean, I talk to them. I'm like, you know, we're not like, you know, crisis like that. Do you guys want to take Christmas off? And they're like, absolutely not. Like, they need to know that we're here for them. I mean, it's just the dedication of my counselors it's amazing. Yeah, so we're a great team.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the time, and it's good to talk to you about this, and good luck. We'll do everything we can to publicize your efforts. Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by Global Payments, the gaming industry's only vertically integrated payment provider offering solutions that create a simple, secure, and more effective way for patrons to wager and fund their play. Read more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at globalpaymentsgaming.com. To learn more about problem gambling treatment in Nevada and all other parts of the world, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.